Excellent. You get your own stock portfolio, a percentage of the 9/11 Victims Fund, and the best medical care on the planet. You'll be kept as healthy as a horse.
So, how's that leg doing?
Great. Never better.
Good. Why don't you try putting some weight on it?
Sure. Yes. Oh, that's good. That feels good. Very strong.
Sorry, Thunder. I gotta put you down.
How's your leg, huh? How's your leg? You ready to race, huh?
Fantasy football!
Wow, you do have it out timing. You haven't recorded in almost a year, and you nailed it.
Did I blow out the speakers, though?
I'll fix it in post.
All right.
So it's the first podcast of season two of Keith Wanted a League. How you feeling?
Very disorganized.
Yeah. I mean, we're winging this like crazy. Last year, every podcast had like a format. Like, you sent me an email with the Word document that was in the same template. Yeah. And this year, I jotted some bullets down on the ride over to our parents' house.
Oh, no.
Who live in New Hampshire now. So we have a bit of
lots of change going on.
A podcast home base. We're in the same room for the first time in a while.
But this is still temporary because we are in the near future, hopefully, going to have like a legitimate studio for this.
Yeah, we're going to have like foam that dampens audio echo. Hoping to get some more people on the podcast in person, looking at you, Greg.
Greg's wife. What's her name?
Okay, what's your fucking name? What's your fucking name?
Nice,
Aaron.
Yeah.
So I figured on the first podcast back, we should sort of recap last season.
And drink some beers.
Alcohol consumption is a good thing too.
Yeah. I'm just getting the soundboard lubed up here for the new season.
So big, I told her, look back at it. Whoa. Look back at it. Whoa. Look back at it. Whoa. Then I'll put a fat rabbit on a crap medic.
What do you think are some of the notes from last season that we should discuss? Obviously, the fantasy wizard won barely. If you had like one extra carry from some dude, you may have won the championship.
Yeah, it could have been a reception for negative yardage.
Mm-hmm. So you're not holding any sort of bad taste in your mouth there?
Not really. I feel like to some degree, fantasy justice was served as far as me not winning the championship, just because there were some people who were a little bit frustrated with a trade that went through during the year. So I think if I would have won the championship, it might have really turned some people off to the league. But in the same vein, I don't think justice was served in letting the fantasy wizard win, because it's just like, you know, it's a fantasy wizard.
Yeah, and he got underwear, which really kills it. Like, I really hate thinking about him just strutting around in his new underwear.
Yeah, he said it's his lucky
fucking
underwear.
Champ.
But
he's got a target on his back now.
In many ways, I think that the inaugural season here is already an asterisk season.
Yeah, well, there were only 8 teams
in the annals of this league.
We had 2 quarterbacks. I'm thinking we're going to have significant changes in season 2.
Significant.
Yeah, I think we should talk about
it. Seems kind of drastic, but
I think we should talk about them.
All right.
I think we got to get rid of the Superflex.
Yeah, it would be cool if I had like some sort of disagreement there, but I think that across the board, league-wide, I'm sure everyone's in favor of that.
Yeah, so
we're adding 2 teams.
So what's the change, though? Like, are we adding any positions, or are we just getting rid of the Superflex?
I think we just chop off Superflex and then eliminate some bench spots, and it'll play basically the same as last season in terms of the player pool. We'll just have 2 extra teams.
So we're getting rid of a bench spot and a Superflex spot.
More than 1 bench spot.
2 bench spots.
Or 3 bench spots.
3 bench spots.
Hang on, let me check. It might be 4 bench spots.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to keep the player pool the same.
We only added 2 teams, not 4.
Yeah, we added 2 teams, but we also... Look, I did the math. All right, hang on. Let me pull it up.
I really feel... You weren't prepared. I didn't know you were this unprepared.
Let me pull up the new league in a new platform that we'll get to later. Can Spoiler alert.
Well, that's literally the second bowl.
Burying the lead here. The second I just want to see how many bench spots I have set so we can, you know, get this all out on the air. Losing Superflex.
Yeah.
Anyone who has any issues with that, go ahead and send us an email. What's our email address?
I fucking don't know. I should set one up. K-Wall.
I just wanted you to like pretend that we had one.
K-Wall so we could have complaints gmail.com. Go there
that would never be seen.
K-W-A-L at gmail.com.
6 bench spots.
6 bench
spots. So last season we had 9.
All right, so we're getting... we had fucking 9 bench spots? Yeah, we had 9. Jesus.
We only had 8 teams.
6 is plenty.
So 6 bench spots, no super flex.
So what's our... What is...
My dick fell off!
Can we just run down is the equivalent the of 3 bench spots? Can we run down the roster spots right now?
Yeah, off the top of my head. Ready?
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many wide receivers?
2.
All right. Running backs?
2.
Tight end?
1.
Kicker?
0.
Defense?
Fucking 0.
What about a flex?
2 regular flex spots.
Okay.
So hey, play that's running pretty good.
Back there, wide receiver.
Running back, wide receiver, tight end.
Nice. Okay. All right, so moving on, you mentioned...
And then 6 bench spots.
And you mentioned the...
3 IR spots.
You mentioned the new platform.
Yes, we are moving. We have moved to a new platform. So we are migrating away from Yahoo, and we are now on Sleeper.
So what motivated this change, this unilateral change?
2 things. So the first being the chat app. So the chat app, in my opinion, the chat app in Yahoo is absolute garbage.
Okay.
Absolute garbage. It's like you have to basically navigate away from the app within the app, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So you have like your league up, but then you like leave the league screen completely and you go to this like chat screen.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever checks it. So that sucks and it makes it difficult for... like league-wide messaging. So that was number 1. And then number 2, and I don't know if this is on the list. I think it is. As far as the draft goes. So I think we talked about it last year. I've always wanted to do like an offline slow draft. And so I don't think we've like officially put this out there. But that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to do an offline slow draft.
And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, bud.
So this app has like a much more user-friendly draft configuration. I guess that it like allows for that. Whereas Yahoo, we would have had to like find some third-party draft board, do the draft, and then me or you as commissioners, we would have to go into Yahoo and manually put in everybody's pick. So that would have sucked. So those were the 2 reasons. Initial kind of thoughts on the new platform.
You know, it looks nice. I've kind of just been doing Yahoo my whole time playing fantasy football just because some dude in 8th grade made that decision for me.
Right. I don't know that I've ever done any fantasy league outside of Yahoo.
I'm excited about this new draft format.
Surprise, motherfucker.
I think this is the league to experiment in.
It now before it gets like established and people get...
Yeah.
Fucking headaches about any kind of change.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we'll have more to discuss about the draft later, and it'll kind of become clear why we're doing it this way. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, so Sleeper.
Sleeper. All right, this word kind of rhymes. I guess it does rhyme. Keeper. Do we have thoughts on keepers?
Keeper rhymes with sleeper?
Doesn't it?
That was like a really professional transition.
Thanks.
Bruh.
Very nice.
Thank you.
All right. So this one, I don't think we have discussed you and I don't think we've discussed this since last season on the podcast. So I am actually going to let you start.
Me.
Yeah. You tell me where you're at on keepers.
So a couple of years ago in a league with you, we did something that I thought was somewhat interesting. I haven't fully like thought through it and how it might work in this league, but you know, I definitely want limited keepers. Like we're not doing auctions, so unlimited keepers.
God, I hate auctions.
Fucked up anyway. You know, I'm thinking 1 to 2 keepers max. I think a limit of how many years they can be on your team. You know, if it's not one, then it better be 2, because I, you know, I'm not listening to a 3-year keeper. And I think that you should get some benefit next year regarding, like, if you found a keeper who, you know, was a super deep value. So I know a couple of years ago we did something where you had one keeper, you got them in a round, the same round you got them the previous year, and then after that they just weren't on your team anymore. But if you have alternative ideas, I'm certainly willing to listen.
All right, so that's where I was initially, because that's what we did. We did that in another fantasy football league not too long ago. And I think every fantasy league for any sport that I've been in has had keepers basically, I think, as long, like, since keepers became a thing in fantasy sports. So I had always just kind of like had keepers as like a, what's the terminology I'm looking for here? Just like almost as like a matter of fact, like I never even thought that there would be an option not
just
to do.
Just a given.
Yeah, just a given to have keepers. I've actually gone the other way with this league. I think if we were to vote right now, I would have voted against keepers altogether. And the only reason that I feel that way now is just the structure and like the purpose of this league. Like this is not... This league is supposed to be more about fun, less about competition. We don't have any money on the line. I'm not super interested in like how good you are at fantasy sports with this league. Like, I don't really care. It's more just about like having fun. And I think that if every single year, everybody starts fresh, we just redraft every year. No carryover for like draft order. Every year draft order gets picked by some event in the all the players are available. I just think it makes like each season more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that that is now the rule. I'm just saying that that's kind of where I'm at on keepers.
I mean, I think I'm actually pretty good with no keepers. Just thinking about like...
Excellent.
It kind of lets us have more flexibility. If we ever want to bring in 12 teams, there's right. less barriers of entry.
Yeah, we weren't going to do keepers this year anyways because we're adding 2 teams. So
yeah,
it would have been...
I was just thinking down the line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm willing to punt that discussion for another year.
Yeah, we can just table that.
All right. But we do have 10 teams, like you said.
We do.
How many playoff teams do we want?
So our choices are 4 or 6.
Yeah.
And I think, oh man, I don't think I've made up my mind on this. So I think in the interest of what I was just talking about, where like it's more about having fun than competition, I think that that would suggest 6 teams for playoffs. But I also feel like there's just some unofficial rule that should be followed that like you can't have more than half of the competitors in the playoffs.
Tell that to the NBA.
Is that how the NBA works?
Well, they have how many? They
like
have
16 wild cards.
They have 16 teams.
It seems like sports are going the other way.
I'm leaning 6.
Started with no wild card, added a wild card, added 2 wild cards. So 6 sounds fine.
Okay.
You want to do 6?
Yeah.
You
get no keepers, I get 6 playoff teams.
Okay.
That
seems fair.
So
Sorry. I didn't know what this one was anymore, and I just wanted to know.
All right, so now let me make my argument for punishment for last place. I really think that we should continue the underwear tradition, and last place should buy underwear for first place.
Okay. You have anything else? Because you still got a couple seconds on this drop.
I just rushed it because I thought this drop was really short. All right,
so you think the underwear tradition is what you want to see continue?
I do. I mean, I think it's going to get a little weird if Aaron wins this year, but Greg and Aaron can like discuss that themselves. I'm not about to opine there.
Yeah. I never even thought about that, but I think that that might make some of the managers more inclined to vote for the underwear option.
Yeah.
Things could get a little wild.
All right. Well, why don't we just...
I mean, what if that somehow manifested into like now men who are winning the league are getting like women's lingerie underwear?
Yeah. Well, that's really up to last place. You know, I'm not about to try to commission that aspect of the league, co-commission. Yep.
Wow.
All right, moving on.
Whoa.
Moving
whoa,
on. I already got that in there.
I got to get into... I had the Fantasy Wizard, and I spoke very briefly about the last place.
Okay.
And what should happen. So I think he was looking for something that was like a little more... I don't know, I guess a little bit more of a punishment to that team as opposed to like a reward for the winning team.
Okay.
But I suppose we could do both. I thought that buying the last place person buying something. Wait, that's not what we did either. We didn't do anything last year. No, the underwear thing was just me and him.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mark had a variety of suggestions for the last place team.
Okay.
I think kind of in the spirit that a lot of fantasy leagues do where the league all comes together and decides on a punishment for the last place team, which come in a variety of degrees, anything from like last place gets a tattoo chosen by the rest of the league. You know, and then
yeah, that's a lot of commitment.
You see the stuff on the internet, like the guys are like holding signs and shit, or like I think I saw one where I should have researched this and brought some good material for the pod of all the funny ones, but I saw one where the last place team, the manager, had to like wear underwear and then cover themselves in peanut butter and just go sit on a bench at a dog park. So like all the dogs are just fucking molesting this guy.
Well, I mean, I guess it's something we can decide before every season.
Yeah.
You know, I know of a league where last place's team name is determined by second to last place.
Huh.
To like motivate everyone to try to not, or it could be first place.
I feel like that would, if I was not looking like I was going to make the playoffs, that would motivate me to get second to last place.
Yeah.
Because it gives me some power.
Yeah. Or like, like seventh place or something.
Oh no! We suck again!
I know there's almost nothing I enjoy more than naming my teams and being able to adjust them as the season goes on.
Yeah.
So that is something I would want to avoid like the plague.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes it good, bad. But you know, I don't know. Is this something we should discuss with everyone and kind of...
We should probably take suggestions from all the members.
All right.
And just kind of... I don't know that we necessarily need to have like a full league vote on it, but just get everybody's suggestions and then maybe we just exercise a little executive power and choose one.
Yep.
I will throw out there that I have never been a fan of anything like money related in fantasy leagues.
Yep.
I don't like playing in money leagues. And I don't like a very common one that gets thrown around is like if you're in a money league, last place has to pay double or something like that. Or like the next season, whoever got last pays the entry fee for whoever got first or something like that. I don't like that.
Well, that's like not going to work. That's such a bad one. That only works if everyone's super committed. Otherwise, you're like, hey, you guy who doesn't really like fantasy, it's going to cost you twice as much next year to play.
Well, so here's the other thing. So I don't like when money is a reward for winning. but I'm not opposed to having some sort of like financial aspect. But the only times that I think it's that I like am in favor of it is if you had like a nominal, like a nominal fee to get into the league, and then you just pool that money and you buy something for the winner with that money. Like that's the only time I can get behind that. So like everybody throws in $5 or whatever, and then you take your $50 and you buy like a action figure of a football player that was on the winning team's team.
Well, what if we just went the trophy route, and then,
or you could go the trophy route,
and then every year we got it engraved or something, and you know, like that is the nominal amount of money that people are throwing in.
Yeah.
Or last place pays to get it engraved or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So there's two things then that we're talking about there, whether the winning team gets anything and whether the losing team has some sort of penalty. But clearly we're not ready to lay out a list of options or make any decisions.
Yeah, I mean, here's my vote for definitely having a trophy and having a somewhat unique one. Like, I've had leagues in the past where I just found something at fucking Goodwill and like spray painted it gold, and you know, it didn't last long, but the Regal Eagle flew high for a little while.
So in your vision then, is there just like a singular trophy that gets passed around each season?
I think so. I think it adds some prestige to the league. You
it
know?
Definitely does, but it's also like relying on the fact that everybody's going to be committed to this league for the long run.
Yeah.
And then you have the logistics of like, okay, if Bryce wins, God forbid.
Right.
Then yeah, the trophy's got to get to California.
Well, he can pay to have it shipped because I'm not going to put that on last place.
So that's why, in lieu of like a singular trophy, I kind of like the idea of, you know, each year, whoever wins, we buy them like a football action figure of a player from their team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just...
So like Mark won last year, we could have bought him like a little action figure of Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
And like made it into a trophy.
I know, that just feels like a lot of commitment. Is there a way to have a trophy where you can change like... the top of the trophy is some player on that team that won, and then switch it out every year or something.
How about the trophy is, it has like a base, right? And then it has like almost like a picture frame on the top.
Yeah.
And then instead of having to buy like a new action figure, we just have like a child draw a picture of one of the players on their team and put that in there.
It's definitely not getting shipped to Bryce either way, though.
Yeah. Bryce, we'll send you a picture of it.
All right. So this is another thing I think that the league should opine on.
Wait, are we moving on?
We can. I mean,
I just didn't know if you were moving to a new, because I got a drop lined up.
Well, why don't
still
you just,
lubing up the?
Why don't you just
here.
Hit that drop and then you can transition to whatever you want.
Oh, and we were just talking about Mark winning, and I could have used this in memory of the late great Mean Gene Okerlund.
Speaking of champions,
yeah,
it's great.
We got to get more Mean Gene drops on here.
I know, now that he's not with us.
R.I.P. I.P.
What do you want to talk about? You transitioned. Are we finally doing it?
Yeah.
We're talking draft.
Let's talk draft and pretend that I have like a draft drop.
That is correct.
Thanks.
Well, so you mentioned draft style.
Yeah.
You want to explain how that's going to work?
Yeah, let me just sip my beer. All right. Offline slow draft.
Okay.
So basically, once we get the two new managers in here... then we can start drafting. So instead of having like, you know, trying to figure out a date and time where the most people in the league will be available, and inevitably not everyone will, but, and then there's like a 3-hour window where you get a minute to 2 minutes to make your picks back to back to back to back to back. Instead of doing that, we'll just establish an online draft board that you can access from your computer or your phone 24/7. And we can set the rounds to like 8 hours. So basically you make a pick, you can either go on the draft board, plug your pick in, or you can just like text me or Keith Jr. and we can go in and enforce your pick in. And then the next person can make their pick kind of at their leisure. We can toy around with like the time limits on it too. I just want to get away from like the any kind of 2 minute, 3 minute, 1 minute time limit that's going to force everyone to be kind of active at the same time.
So I wonder if the time limit, I feel like even 8 hours is too strict.
Well, so another thing I can do, or you can do, because I made you co-commissioner, we can just pause the draft.
Yeah.
So like if most of us are on the East Coast, so like whatever, if we're going to bed, no one, obviously we don't need the clock running overnight on someone, so we can just pause it. I don't think most people are going to take 8 hours.
Well, I almost feel like we don't have a time limit. We monitor the draft and we pressure people to make their picks.
Okay.
And at some point, if we feel like it's taking too long, we say, hey, you have X amount of time. And that otherwise, you can just make the league draft, auto draft for that one pick.
Yeah, but I think that's what the time limit does.
Sure.
Is it sets a uniform so that no one can claim that like we're bullying them.
I just feel like that the
to keep it fair, we would have to set a time frame anyways.
Let's call it 12 hours then. That's half a day.
All right. That's not one of my options in the
All right. app. 8 hours.
So 8 hours, but we'll pause it. We're just going to set some rules on the fly here. It's going to be 8 hours to make your pick. We're going to pause it when we go to bed. We're going to unpause it when we wake up. And we will also pause it with any like reasonable request from someone who's on the board. So if they say, hey, I need you to pause my time, we'll say, okay, why? And you know, what are some examples of good reasons to pause a draft and then bad reasons to pause a draft?
Bad reason is like going to the gym.
Yeah. You can fucking draft at the gym.
Yeah. Going to work, you can draft at work.
You can draft at work.
If you can't, you should quit.
Just get out of the league now.
Maybe your wife is giving birth. That's okay temporarily.
I might have to go to league vote. I mean, you can draft. You're not giving birth.
Okay, so pretty much being asleep is the only good excuse.
Being on an airplane.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to throw that out there. Being on an airplane. I guess being anywhere where you have an extended period of time that you are without internet.
Yeah, I mean,
I imagine that might be like a submarine.
Yeah. Okay. If anyone's on a submarine, that is fine. Hang glider. Totally. Wind.
How long can you hang glide?
I don't know, but maybe you have.
I'm not pausing it for like 30 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm not giving you the 30 minute pause because you decided to hang glide that day.
If anyone hang glides this year, I will pause it. I'll pause it because I just won't believe you. If you prove it that you're hang gliding, you can take as much time as you want.
All right, that seems fair. If you're in court,
that's good.
Yep.
I feel like this is gonna be like this could either go really well or it could just be like a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, but I think this is the season to try it out. If we're not doing it this season, when are you gonna do it? You know what I mean? Everything's in flux right now.
I still at some point would love to host a draft party.
Yeah. I think that was kind of the like idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just again the logistics make it like really difficult.
Okay. Well, we're gonna try it. If it goes wrong, it's Andrew's fault.
Yeah.
But I think in order to do that, we have to determine draft order.
Yes.
Or
did we?
The thing is that we could have had sleeper decide.
Could have.
We instead did what we did last year.
Yep.
Another fucking horse race.
Look, they really lend themselves well to this sort of thing. Do we need to go over all like how we assigned horses and everything?
Sure. Quickly, all I did was I went into Excel and I assigned a random function to everyone's name as well as every horse in the Arlington
Wow.
Million.
Arlington Million.
Arlington Million. And I ran, I like regenerated random numbers like 20 times, but I couldn't track them at the end. So at the end of the day, I assigned an order to the horses. I assigned an order to the managers.
Wow.
And then, so each person got the corresponding horse with the same number. And then we let the race go and see who, what the order of the draft was.
I thought you said it was going to be just like a quick explanation.
It's quick enough.
Is it done?
It's done.
Yay! All right, so everybody got their horse.
Yeah. And you did a lot of research on this horse race.
Well, this was another one of these things where like we still were very disorganized, kind of getting back into the swing of things with the league.
Yeah.
So it was very last minute. Like, I think we decided on how we were going to select draft order, and the race, was it 2 days? It was at most 2 days before the race ran.
I'm trying to look it up.
So then it was like a mad dash to like let everybody know, hey, we're doing horse race again. The horses have been assigned. Here are your horses. And again, another reason why Yahoo sucks. So I'm posting this all in like the chat, knowing that no one is seeing it. No one's reading it. So then I'm texting the various people in the league the same information. So we got the horses picked. We got the horses out to the managers. Yeah. And then it was like,
so let me run down every horse that, and the corresponding manager.
Okay.
So Mark got Robert Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Sr. got Magic Wand.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Jr. got Bricks and Mortar.
Mm-hmm.
Greg got Cacho and Die.
Is it Die or D-A?
D-A. Cacho and D-A. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So new manager won. So we decided that we didn't have the two new managers, but we were going to say, The manager with the most votes got Hunting Horn. Kurt got The Great Day. Bryce got Pivoine. I don't know how to say
Pivoine?
That. Pivoine?
I think it's Pivoine.
All right. Aaron got Captivating Moon, which seems fitting.
Right.
You got Intelligent, but it's misspelled.
A sign of things to come.
Nice. And then new manager two got Bandua.
Yep. Yeah. So, in all reality, the race was probably run without most people even like, I told everyone, so everybody knew it was happening, but I don't know that anyone actually like looked into it, paid attention or cared prior to the horse race being run aside from me.
Yeah, you actually listened to like a back, like someone was reporting on your horse.
Yeah, it was essentially like a race day scouting report.
Yeah.
So
the cream of the crop
is what I was hoping for.
Yeah. So I figured it'd be interesting for us to just play that right now.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, my horse was Intelligent, which was spelled incorrectly. And here is the race day scouting report of Intelligent.
Now onto the grass, and they also schooled him in the starting gate, which he very much so needed. He did not want to go in the gate, and once he was in there, he was extremely resentful and afraid of the assistant starter that was in there by his head. I caught up with Therese Shephet about this horse, and he said he just wasn't accustomed to having the header. After he stood up, they backed him out of the gate, put him back in where he was still aggressive, but finally settled down. He told me he will be fine with having the header in there today. They also do add blinkers on for today, and that could be useful for this horse because he tends to kind of hang around really slowly after the gate breaks. In fact, yesterday, when he schooled, they broke him out of the front of the gate, just a hand open, but the rider sent him along with a couple of slaps on the shoulder, and he was pedestrian to even get going. Oh. It was just a couple of jumps out of the gate that he could even get him to go.
Yep.
He was equipped with the blinkers that he is going to be wearing in the race today for that little unpublished work yesterday. And the blinkers are very large, and I asked Florent Giroux about those, and he said that in France, all they have are no blinkers and big blinkers, so we don't have the many different levels like we have here in America. Also, he said he spoke to several of the guys that have ridden this horse before and tried to get a handle on what to do because he hadn't been on him at all. So make sure to pay close attention to him and his antics as they go into the gate here for the Arlington Million.
So I thought it was interesting that they called your horse pedestrian. That was probably my favorite part.
Absolutely scathing. like not not the most like emotionally charged word you can think of, but when I heard that, I was just like, what, like how much worse of a word can be used to describe a horse prior to a race than pedestrian?
Yeah, I mean, your horse was scared.
Pedestrian. So I actually didn't know. I was just watching like pre-race coverage. I didn't know that they were about to break out into this scouting report, or I would have recorded the whole thing. So I actually didn't even start recording that until like halfway through. So needless to say, there was a bunch more just like shit talking about my horse prior to that, where I was like, wow, I really need to record this. So I jumped in like halfway, but just to point out a few of the terms and phrases used to describe my horse, who all of my like fantasy dreams were riding on the back of this horse right alongside that jockey from France. Resentful, afraid, aggressive, hangs around slowly, and then the aforementioned pedestrian. And then there was also all that talk about blinkers, which was a little bit frustrating because they basically insinuated that the horse was wearing blinkers that were far too large. And then they were like, yeah, in France, there's only huge blinkers or no blinkers, and not the various sizes we have here in America. The race is in America. Why is my horse limited to these shitty French blinkers? Why can't they just hook him up with some American blinkers? I obviously don't understand how horse racing works, but yeah, so that did not bode well for me heading into the race.
So you're watching like the lead up to this race. Are you getting any information on anyone else's horse?
Yes. So another thing that I learned, let me see if I can remember it. So the two that the most information, there was the most information about your horse and Mark's horse.
Bricks and Mortar and then Bricks Robert and Mortar Bruce.
And Robert Bruce. So I believe they may be stable mates, or they have like the same owner or something. But Robert Bruce, I believe, won the Arlington Million the year before.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So Mark's horse was coming in as the reigning winner of this race. Bricks and Mortar, your horse, I learned just prior to the race being run, was the number one ranked horse in, I think, the country. So like the number one American horse, race horse in the country.
So how did it make you feel when you learned that I picked everyone's horse?
Yeah.
I had the best one and you had the worst one.
Yeah, immediately I was like, Curtis is going to think that there's collusion here. As soon as I found out that your, quote, randomly generated horse was also the best horse in the country, a little red flag went up, you know?
That was shocking to me. Because, you know, I was here at our parents' house, like, last week or something, and you were just playing me all this shit, and I hear that Bricks and Mortar is, like, the 9-time champion, and I, like, I start getting giddy because I had no idea. I thought he was like, he was coming out of like gate number 3. And I was like, I think that means he sort of sucks, but clearly I don't know anything about horse racing.
Yes.
So anyway,
speaking of champions.
So I learned that and then I kind of get my expectations up and then you play me the race.
Yeah. So I recorded the race on my phone and then I sent it to everybody in the league because I knew that like nobody was really following along or going to be watching it, with the exception of maybe Mark. When I talked to Mark just before, like when I let him know about the race and the horses and stuff, I know he was saying that he was going to try to find a way to bet on his horse. I don't know if he ever actually did, and I don't know if he watched it, but I did send everybody the race afterwards. So we have that audio as well.
Mile and a quarter. It's the big one of the meet. They are in the gate. And they're off in the Arlington Million of 2019. There's Cacho NDA, who strikes out for Sophie Doyle. Bandua with this early move. For the inside, the filly. Right there toward the inside is Magic Wand for Wayne Lorden as they settle. And on the outside is Hunting Horn, whose front rank as Bandua has taken the lead for Adam Biskitsa, with Hunting Horn second on the outside. Magic Wand in third. Sharp start for Cacho and Dia, who's fourth between horses. Blinkered Intelligent posted wide out to the stretch where Bandua leads. Then toward the inside, Iron Ortiz Jr. and the favorite nine-time winner, Bricks and Mortar, settles in after the first 2.5 furlongs. Defending champion Robert Bruce, Yellow Blue Sleeves, up the rail there for Javier Castellano. The trailers are Pavoine, and under the hands of Jose Vadivi Jr., Captivating Moon has dropped back to last. The quarter in 24.45 seconds. Bandua generates the million pace at the 5.5. It's Bandua who leads Hunting Horn, who stays focused in on the front runner for Ryan Moore. Bandua 3/4 length to Hunting Horn. Ketcho and DA in the red cap posted wide uncovered for Sophie Doyle. Magic Wand is saving ground toward the inside. Intelligent is 5 from Bandua, who continues to lead them for a half mile from home. Bricks and Mortar is toward the inside in front to Pavoine. Then comes Robert Bruce, and Captivating Moon remains at the back of the field. The half mile in 48.65 seconds. Bandua is 3/4, moment at 12.94, and they have 3 furlongs to go. It's Bandua looking to make every yard. Bandua continues to lead. On the outside, Cacho and DA of long odds. Hunting Horn put to stern pressure. Magic Wand is right there. The filly, Intelligent, sweeping wide. Bricks and Mortar starts the move. Bricks and Mortar's in behind a wall of horses. Pavoine needs a gap and is swung wide. Robert Bruce has pulled out, and Captivating Moon was last as they straightened it. Still Bandua. Here's Magic Wand, who comes to take on Bandua with a furlong to go. And Bricks and Mortar is charging hard. It's Bricks and Mortar took the lead from Magic Wand and Bandua. Bricks and Mortar, Irad Ortiz Jr. for Chad Brown with an unprecedented Arlington Grade 1 hat trick today. Bricks and Mortar has won it. Magic Wand, Robert Bruce, next with Bandua. Following them home was Captivating Moon with Intelligent, Pavoine, Cacho and DA, and Hunting Horn. Bricks and Mortar, 159.44.
What a race, huh?
Yeah, so that was the race. So Bricks and Mortar obviously taking the win.
So I was so disappointed for like the first 3/4 of that race. I was like, Bricks and Mortar's done. I thought I had this amazing horse.
Yeah, he was running just kind of middle of the pack.
Gonna let me down. And God, did I not want middle of the pack?
Yeah.
In the draft, because that would suck if I was like 5th or 6th.
Yeah,
that'd
be terrible. That would be fucking. So close, yet
so far away. So close. So do you have thoughts on that race?
Yeah, lots of thoughts. So Bricks and Mortar, I don't know how well it comes across in the audio, but like running in the middle of the pack for the majority of it and then just makes a late run and wins. Bandua was leading for, I think, the majority of the race, and that's one of the new manager horses. I think so.
Do we know which new manager?
I do. Just got to look it up here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it
Bandua is new manager 2.
Okay. So new manager 2, where did Bandua finish?
3rd.
Wow, new manager 2. So you want fewer votes in this.
Yeah. Okay. So that all happened. Another thing with horse racing is that, like, this is the frustrating part about using this to determine draft order. Is so they run the race. The guy calling the race, like, calls the horses in order as he sees them. Never right. Never right. Like, gets the first horse, maybe first 2, and then some at the back correct. And then for whatever reason, which I don't fucking understand, because people put so much money on this stuff, they don't publish the results for like an entire day. And if they do publish the results within that first day, they only publish the first 3 horses. So I'm assuming that like in horse betting, if you're outside of 3, like it doesn't matter because they don't post the results. So obviously people wanted to know where their horses finished. So I just listened to the like announcer and the order he put them in. So I posted that as the draft order. And then of course, a day later, they posted the official results with some changes. So I had to go back and post the confirmed results. So there were some changes, like Mark went down a spot. I think Bryce went down a spot.
Ha.
Erin might have gone down like two spots.
Really? I thought she got last.
Greg went down a spot.
Did anyone go up?
Yeah. So Bandua went up.
I just wasn't sure if it was just one horse that they thought was last and actually got second.
No, it was like in the middle that things kind of switched around.
Are we still super like, Keith top heavy?
Yes. So the Keiths took one and two.
Nice.
So another MKO like red, taking over. Another red flag. Not sure what was going on there.
Taking over.
Yeah. And then, so a few more things. Captivating Moon was just like total garbage the first half of the race. She ended up passing a couple horses, but and then Curtis's horse, much like Keith Senior's horse last year, didn't race.
Oh,
so we
really?
Had another horse that didn't race, so Curtis automatically, same rules as last year, he gets last pick because his horse did not race.
Not
the great
such
day.
A it great was, day, huh?
It's not such a great day. For Curtis. They killed him.
Oh my God.
As God is my witness, he is broken in half.
The horse or Curtis?
Curtis.
Okay.
But here's the thing. So he gets 10th, whatever. He didn't like that. In your opinion, if we're talking 10 teams, what do you think is the worst draft position?
Probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah. I think it depends on the sport and the year, because it really depends on like that top player pool. Because you know, every sport, every year, there's like a consensus top, whatever it is, 4, 5, 6 players that
yep.
If you get one of those, you're like, okay, I still feel good about that. And then if you're outside of it, I think, me personally, if you're outside of that top player pool, I'd rather be closer to the end. Because I want to be able to make my back-to-back picks. I like picking on the wheel. So if I was Curtis, I wouldn't be too upset about being 10. What I am upset about is being 6.
Ugh.
So that's what I got, which this year is right outside that consensus top 5 player pool. So I don't get a pick in that top player pool, and then I also don't get a second pick until, you know, all the other people behind me get 2 picks. So I honestly think 6 is the worst draft spot for the draft this year.
So let's just let's run down
my picks.
So I'm drafting 1.
Yep.
Keith Senior's drafting 2.
Yep.
Manager 2's drafting 3. Mark is 4. My horse was meh. Who the fuck is that? Who is 5?
That's Bryce.
Bryce is 5. You're 6.
Yep.
7 is Erin.
Yep.
8 is manager 1. 9 is Greg. And then 10 is Curtis.
That's right.
So, I mean, interestingly, though, you're 6 and you're like, I don't want this at all. Curtis is upset with 10. Do you think you should be able to trade those draft picks?
Yeah, it's something that we have talked about. I would be open to, like, I think we should open it up to a broader discussion with the whole league.
Yep.
But I wouldn't be opposed to just like 1-for-1 swaps. Like if Curtis doesn't want 10 and I would rather be at 10 than 6, then we can just swap.
But is that for every round or can you do it by round?
I would just do it for the first round only.
And you don't want like, I'm going to trade you my first round pick and my third round pick.
Packaging
your
picks.
First and your second or
no,
something.
No, because I think that kind of like migrates the league away from fun towards competition, which I'm trying to avoid.
Okay.
Which also I might actually, again, if I had to vote right now, I might actually vote against being able to trade anything at all, just because I think if you can't trade and you just get what you get, then it puts a little bit more stock into whatever like event we use to pick the draft order.
Sure.
Because like if I know that, because I happen to like to pick on the wheel, so if I don't get one of those top picks I want, if I know that I'm likely going to be able to trade down to 10, it kind of like makes me care less about whatever event.
All right.
Determines
well,
it.
We can bring it up to the league, but we can always just...
I bet everybody wants to talk about that because it's...
More seductive than sex.
Yeah, right. It is. But yes. the one thing that it makes crystal clear, you know, when we're talking about draft order is we need to decide our two managers.
We do.
We do. We have a late entrant to the potential manager pool. A
lot of helium with this one.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to interview him now. And then after that, we're going to play the clips of everyone else. And what we're going to ask is that every manager votes on one person that they think should be the next manager. Not two, just one. And then the top vote getter will be new manager one. The second most votes will be manager two. But yeah, you guys got to get those votes in because we're going to have a podcast next week as well. And the main thing we're doing next week's podcast is I'm going to announce my first pick. And yeah. That's going to start the draft.
Yeah, and then the draft will go live after that. So I know that last season we had talked about we wanted to do like this big kind of end of the season show where we got a bunch of people together, recap the season, and then voted on the new managers. That never happened. So now we're doing like an abridged version where we're just going to get everybody's vote kind of off the pod, and then we'll talk about it once we get everybody's votes, get the managers in there. But last entrant to be in consideration for a new manager in this league. Let's go to the interview now.
All right. So the last and final potential new manager is Dom Ferrandelli. Dom, say what's up.
What's up, everybody?
Dom was my best friend growing up, like elementary school.
That's right. Holy Rosary.
Yeah, Holy Rosary, definitely a lot of childhood stories, but we don't want to sway anybody. We don't want to sway any decisions. Little fact that might change things here, Dom, correct me if I'm wrong, today is your birthday.
You know it, August 19th.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you taking some time out of your birthday to come on the pod.
All good, how can I miss it?
All right, well, enough of the pleasantries. Let's get down to business. You're here to answer some questions.
Obviously, it's we got some open spots in the Fantasy Football League. And to pick the new managers, we had all of the existing managers come up with a question that they wanted the applicants to answer. So we're doing our interviews, asking all the applicants the questions, and then we're going to review those answers, and the current league members are going to vote. That's awesome. Answers to the questions. Very who cool. They want to bring into the league.
Don't stress Keith. Though. You know, yeah. The competition isn't very stiff.
Hey, you don't gotta worry about me stressing, dude. I'll tell you that.
I don't think we have told any of the applicants, any of the other people that have come on to answer questions, but I will say that one of them was our mom. So
all right, good to know.
That's the competition that you've got.
Okay.
Yeah, she did refuse to answer a question, or I refused to ask it. I forget which.
Yeah, I don't remember. Definitely one of the questions went unanswered, though.
So you already have that going for you. All right, let's get into this.
All right.
So Andrew wants to know, when was the last time you left a shopping cart in a parking space at the grocery store?
I don't do that. I really probably can't remember because I'm pretty big on that type of thing. I think it's pretty lazy, but I probably left one like in a tree spot. Maybe once in the last year or two.
Which is wait, what's right a tree sometimes. Spot?
You know, like it's not a parking spot. It's like a tree. You know, you can just kind of push it up against something else.
Okay. Gotcha.
No. So, no, I wouldn't call that a parking spot, but yeah, there might have been times I didn't deliver it right back to the place for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. We're not going to comment too much. We don't want to sway people.
No but, comments needed.
Yeah. All right. Bryce wants to know, what's your favorite beer? Follow-up question, why?
That's tough. I really like Sierra Nevada, probably because it's kind of local and, I don't know, I've been drinking it a long time. But, you know, I like Coors Light, too. It gets really hot out here, and it's a good one to put down, about six of them on a weekend, you know. So I don't know. That's really tough because I like a lot of things, and I probably wouldn't really have a favorite, but I do like Sierra Nevada. I like the brand.
Andrew.
Yes.
Do you think I should cut out that part where he says he likes Coors Light? I don't think Bryce is going to like that very much.
Listen, well, the answer's the answer.
I like Bud Light too, if that makes it any better.
That's awesome.
Six or five Weisers.
I don't know. I could probably do six Coors and then six Weisers right after it if I really wanted to.
There we go.
That's impressive. You know,
I really probably could, but I try not to do that as much.
Pick two of the following shows. Friends, The
Office. No criteria whatsoever.
Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, and The New Girl. Greg wants to.
I'm picking one of those.
Two.
Seinfeld for sure. I'm sorry, I can't hear the other two. Say them again.
Friends, The Office, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, New Girl.
Probably Friends.
All right.
For sure.
So yeah, I mean, 90s, yeah. Thursday night NBC, right?
Yeah.
Was Seinfeld on NBC?
I guess.
Fuck, I don't know. Andrew?
It was like on Channel 58 when I was a kid.
Nice. I remember that shit. It's my 58 yeah. now, right? But it used to be like UPN or whatever the hell UPN was before that.
Huh. Damn. Shit. I really wouldn't know.
All right. From TV to movies, Keith Sr. wants to know, in the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Elliot laid out a trail of peanut butter and chocolate hard-shelled candy in order to lure E.T. inside his house. Please name that candy.
Name the candy? Peanut butter M&M's?
Oh, shit. Try again.
You can't. Tell him to try again.
Well, the point of the question is not. There's a.
All right, you're saying too much.
Is there a hidden question in there?
No, but there's another. There's a different hard shelled chocolate
I'll
peanut
say this.
Butter candy.
Oh. the brand of candy also makes peanut butter cups.
Oh, Reese's Pieces.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's see. I'm saving the one you know, Andrew, for last.
Okay.
Keith Jr., which is me. I want to know, how many keepers is too many keepers?
I don't know. I guess it depends how long the league's been going for and how consistent the managers stay year to year. I mean, I would say anywhere over like three keepers is getting you're going to create some dynasties.
All right, all right. Mark wants to know, how many fantasy teams do you currently manage?
Well, right now it's only baseball, and today was the first day of playoffs, which I've made the champ, reigning champ, by the way.
Nice.
But yeah, for fantasy football, I think I'm already scheduled to be in five if this one would come to fruition.
Oh, so this would
that
be,
would
your
be the fifth.
Okay.
Yes.
You're like knocking on the door of Fantasy Wizard Jr.
Yeah, it's just something I like to do. You know, I've always watched sports and.
All right. Yeah. All right. So Curtis wants to know, if you were a manager in this league, would you ever use collusion to sabotage it?
I don't even know who would be down to do that. No way.
Me.
Nah, dude. No way. I mean, usually I don't even like trading. I know some people, you know, I'm kind of known as a hoarder. It's really hard to get a deal, and the last thing you want to do is give someone up and have them beat you, you know. It's tough to make a trade with me.
Challenge accepted.
Definitely will not be colluding.
All right, Andrew, will you ask the last one, please?
I don't want to get the phrasing wrong.
All right. So, Dom, just pretend Andrew's asking this.
Not sure why that would make it any better.
I don't know. You tell me.
This is from Aaron.
Aaron wants to know.
This is from the only female manager in the league.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. If you're 1 inch inside your mother and your father is 1 inch inside of you, which way do you move?
Say it one more time, please.
Do I have to?
I tried to understand it, but I couldn't.
Okay, if you're 1 inch...
You might have to draw like a stick figure diagram.
All right. So just picture this in your mind. If you're 1 inch inside your mother and your father is 1 inch inside of you, which way do you move?
I don't know. Upstream? I don't know. I have no idea. But I don't know.
Ugh.
Get out the way, maybe, if you can.
Yeah. All right. I think we can move on. You satisfied, Andrew?
Sure.
All right.
I think we should throw in a bonus question.
All right, you got one?
Yeah, bonus question. Who is your favorite football team, and how long have you liked them?
All right, my favorite team is going to be the New England Patriots. And, you know, it's a shock to a lot of people when I say that, but those who really know me know that I really am, and I've been ever a fan since, I'd say the true fan time was when they lost the Super Bowl, actually, to the Green Bay Packers. I was actually at your guys' house. We watched it there. Remember it pretty good. Like, it was pretty cool. But before that, it was the Bengals, and I guess I just needed a change, and I really like the colors, but for sure that's like my favorite team of all time, all sports. I really don't have another team other than the Patriots.
Didn't you have a real OG Blake poster?
Yeah, Jeff
room?
Blake. Yes. Yep, Eye of the Tiger.
Fucking Jeff Blake, man.
Yeah, that's what it said. Eye of the Tiger on the poster. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
I remember making drawing like banners one year for like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, dude, that's what I remember. I remember you holding up the Patriot banner you drew, and you're all sad and tired because you've been playing outside, and they were losing, but you're just trying to, like, wave it. I remember that really vividly.
Wow.
And I think that might have sent me into the, you know, I got really lucky, you know, and then they sucked for a little bit after that, and then, you know, they came through.
Yo, true or false, you're about to be a dad.
That's true. Any day now, really. Which is crazy. Yeah.
You're going to have a son, correct?
Son. That's right.
What are you going to name him?
The name is going to be, his full name will be Brady Kaito Farindelli.
Look at that.
That's right.
The namesake.
That's a good name, man.
It's a good one.
So unfortunately, Dom's interview gets cut short right there. We were having some technical difficulties, but I guess any other bonus questions that we were going to ask will have to wait for a later date. Like I said previously, we're going to want you to vote on the potential new managers, and with that in mind, I'm going to replay everyone else's answers now. We're going to start with Mark's question, which is the favorite football movie. And if you just listened to Dom's interview, you realize we didn't ask him that question because I was working off a outdated list of questions. So here's Dom's answer.
Favorite football movie. I'd have to say The Waterboy for a variety of reasons, but mainly because it's a good family film.
All right, so now I'm going to play everyone else's answers. Tim's going to go first, then Steve, then Dirk, then my mom. All right, here we go.
Favorite football movie would have to be Remember the Titans. I would put it on a, if I'm ever home and it comes on TV, it is one of the few movies that I will just stop and watch. And I think the mixture of emotion, music, and I think some decent football action makes it an all-timer when it comes to movies.
My favorite football TV show is certainly Friday Night Lights. I think that's an excellent television program, but that's not really the answer to this question, is it?
It is not.
Ooh. It is not.
Also, a shout out to Coach.
I guess I'll have to go with Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Since I'm a Philly boy, has to be Invincible Vince Papale. Let's go.
I like The Replacements, but I also, in honor of your dad, like We Were the Titans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You certainly don't. You don't even know what it's called.
All right, next question. It's Andrews, and he wants to know, when was the last time you left a shopping cart in a parking space at the grocery store?
I will go on record and say I have never done that. I actually just the other day was parking my cart and had my son Nick in it, and it was just the two of us, and it was very cold out, and I still, maybe I'm a bad father, but bundled him up, carried him and pushed the cart because it was close to the end of the night back to the grocery store, and then carried him to the car after putting the groceries away.
This is a real pet peeve of mine, is when people just leave their carts, not in the corral, not in the store, and not propped up onto the curb. I've left a cart or two propped up onto the curb in the back of a parking lot late at night when I see a myriad of other shopping carts also popped up on the curb. I realize that's maybe not the nicest thing I could do to the guys responsible for collecting the carts, but I'm going to be honest here and say I've done it a time or two.
Never.
I have not done that. I always take them back.
Next question, Bryce. He wants to know, what's everyone's favorite beer and why?
Ooh, I think the answer would be whatever is free. I personally am not a picky beer person. So if somebody is handing me a beer and it's either I pay for it or not, I'm going to take the one that's free.
Just any old cold one, I guess. As I look around the room, no, I'm a big fan of the New England IPA scene going on out here. I admit I've driven to Treehouse a time or two just to buy hundreds of dollars worth of beer. And the best beer I've had at Treehouse is probably their Double Ganger.
Double Ganger.
Why? Because it's easy and juicy and dank and cloudy and excellent.
I would have to go with Deschutes Fresh Squeezed IPA from Humboldt County.
My favorite beer is Stella because it's very light and refreshing.
Next question is Aaron's. If you're 1 inch inside your mother and your father is 1 inch inside of you, which way do you move? Aaron, you should be ashamed.
Tim, you can speak over this.
I'm going to pass.
Oh, thanks, Aaron.
Passing.
To the Ukraine.
I don't move at all.
No, I knew that was going to be in there, and you're all my favorite sons. I don't have a favorite.
All right, next demand comes from Greg. Pick two of the following shows: Friends, The Office, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, and New Girl.
The Office, and I'm going to say How I Met Your Mother.
Let's go with Friends and Seinfeld. Let's go with, let's go big or go home.
Great question. Hands down, Seinfeld is first.
Okay.
And that's a toughie between The Office or How I Met Your Mother. I'm going to go with The Office.
I have to pick two of those?
That's right.
Yeah.
Friends and Seinfeld.
Use whatever
Seinfeld
criteria you want. Friends and Seinfeld.
Keith Sr. wants to know, in the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Elliot laid out a trail of peanut butter and chocolate hard-shelled candy in order to lure E.T. inside his house. Please name that candy.
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's.
Reese's Pieces.
Next question. Curtis is still bitter. He wants to know, if you're a manager in this league, would you ever use collusion to sabotage it?
Don't know why I would ever use collusion to sabotage a league. It feels like it's kind of like cheating on somebody. If you're going to cheat on someone, you might as well just break up beforehand. So I just, the answer would have to be no.
I think collusion is an over-deployed term when it comes to fantasy football. I've been accused of it many a time myself for making a trade that other people don't like. I think too many people say, oh, this is collusion because I'm not winning this league. And it's like, well, take a step back. All right, there are 8 of us, maybe 10 of us, 12, 14 in some leagues. You know, you're not going to win every game. You're probably not going to win half your games. People are going to make some trades you don't like, and you can cry about it or you can deal with it. As far as sabotaging the league, absolutely I want to sabotage this league, and I think you guys should let me in so I can do that.
Would I use collusion to sabotage?
Yes.
Of course not.
No, I would not, because, again, just the type of person I am, even though you're in a big system with lots going on, I just think we need honest people doing the right thing.
Next question. How many teams do you manage? I'm curious about that.
I currently manage 3 teams. So I manage a team of undergraduate, college and beyond friends. I manage a team from business school friends, and I manage a family league team as well.
Right now?
Yes.
1.
I currently manage 1 team right now. It's usually 2, though.
I don't manage any.
All right. So those are everyone's answers. Make sure that you vote. We're looking to vote on Tim, Steve, Dirk, my mom, or Dom. And let's just see if I can find the drop to end this podcast. Yeah!